And just get up there and do it. And praise God for it. And it's been a wonderful week. And God's done a wonderful work in our hearts, in our lives. And we've been, encouraged. And we've been, exhorted. Amen. And the Bible said, preach the word.
Yeah.
In season, out of season.
Yeah.
Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So that's why we need to preach. Amen.
Amen.
And so I appreciate all the preaching going on. You know, Brother Angel, Brother Davis, Davis, and I appreciated that. And it's blessed my heart. It's been good for me. And I thank the Lord for it. And it's always good, when preachers get preached at. Because, us preachers need preaching.
Yeah.
We need to get preached at. Amen?
Yeah.
And to help us. And to stay on a straight and narrow. Live above board. Live above the fray. Amen?
Yeah.
Not allowing, all this sin and wickedness to weigh us down like the chains. Amen? What a tremendous message. And I appreciate that so very much. And I appreciate Brother Larson, even though he'd make fun of me. I'm going to be the better man, and I'm going to just encourage the accolades and give them all sorts of compliments. I'm not going to show any funny pictures of them and stuff like that. I'm just kidding. He get back at me all the time. I gave him a hard time. Amen. But thank the Lord for Brother Larson and Patty. I've known them for a long time, and they just keep serving the Lord, and that's a blessing of my heart. And the preachers today, a lot of them just throwing in the towel, getting discouraged, and COVID, all that come up on us. But we just had to keep going for God. And I appreciate him and his dedication to the Lord and a wonderful family. And I praise God for that. I praise God for this church and Moore Baptist Church and the church people. And I know you're one of our supporting churches, helping me stay on the road. We've had some good meetings. We've seen over 250 people saved to the glory of God. And according to the Apostle Paul, when he wrote back to the church at Philippi, he said, that is fruit that abounds to your account.
Amen.
And you've had a part in all of that, in helping us, keeping us going for the glory of God. We've had some good meetings, but churches today just don't want to have extended meetings. They don't want to have revivals, and that's why our country's in the shape that it's in.
That's right.
And because of that, and the judgment starts first in the house of God.
Yes.
We need to stop blaming the Democrats and the Republicans and Biden and all of that. We don't agree with all the things that they're doing, but he's our president, and it's established, the government is established by God, and we had to pray for him. Amen. And all of those things we're supposed to do as Christians, sometimes it's hard, to pray for the president. I suppose, being in the military, it's hard when you got a commander-in-chief like that who doesn't seem to be behind you on some things. But you just have to, be obedient. And the lot has been cast into the lap. But the whole disposing is of the Lord. And God has a plan. God has a will. Why he allows these things to happen, we don't know. But we do know that we have a responsibility as Christian people to serve the Lord and to be diligent about the Father's business. And so thank God for that. And I appreciate that a church that believes in old-time religion, believes in the old ways, and the preaching, and the King James Bible, and the preachers and things like that. And I thank the Lord for it. Now, tonight, I'm going to read some verses out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 28. Paul is on the last leg of his fourth evangelistic crusade. Now, I know a lot of people call them missionary journeys. But I, as an evangelist, and Brother Davis evangelist, and I like to call them evangelistic crusades. Amen. Evangelistic crusade. He's on a crusade for God. But the Apostle Paul, he was the apostle. Amen. He was involved in all sorts of areas of the ministry, evangelism, pastorate, missionary, did it all. Amen. wrote 14 books of the New Testament, if you include the book of Hebrews. I believe that he wrote the book of Hebrews. Some people think maybe Silas, Apollos, Barnabas may have wrote the book of Hebrews. I heard Jack Howell say one time he thought John R. Rice wrote the book of Hebrews, but you know, it's in the Bible, and that's what counts. Amen. It's in the Word of God, right? It's right there. We read it. And so thank God for it. But he's on the last part of his missionary journey, evangelistic, headed to Rome. That's where he wanted to get. God told him back in Acts chapter number 18, 19, I want you to go to Rome. He ran into the tent makers, Aquila and Priscilla, and they had been expelled from Rome. There was a big persecution against the Christians. Nero was burning them at the stake, feeding them to the lions. And there was a great persecution. People were run out. The Jews were run out of Rome. And then God says to the Apostle Paul, I want you to go to Rome. What about that? Amen. And sometimes, you know, God tells us to do something. It may sound difficult, but we just have to obey the Word of God, the will of God. And so he sets out and heads that way. And as he was going, he ran into some storms. And the Bible says in Acts 27, he hit the storm and the ship was heading for the rocks. They had to cast out anchors. There were people wanting to jump ship. It wasn't long before they run the ship aground. And then all the waves were violent, beating the ship to pieces. And so they had to jump out. And those that could swim made their way to shore. And some on broken pieces of the ship. But we notice here that through all of that type of turmoil, the Bible says in Acts 28, verse number 1, and when they were escaped, God always makes a way of escape.
Amen.
Amen. He always makes a way of escape. Don't ever think, you know, you're all boxed up. You're all hemmed up. You don't see any way out. God makes a way of escape. God helps you. Amen. And he's always got the word. He got principles. He got people. And he always makes that way. And they were able, all 276 of them were able to make their way to shore. And they knew that the island was called Melita. And notice the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindle a fire. And that's what we need, God to kindle a fire. And I believe God has kindled a fire in your heart this week. Has God kindled a fire in your heart?
Yes.
Has God given you fire? I mean a renewed. We heard about revival, renewed, and to restore some things. And hopefully you've allowed God to restore those things in your life. Amen?
Yes.
You've allowed the Holy Spirit of God. Now, they gave me a sippy cup, but they gave me that cup too. So, you know, I don't know. A double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. If you're going to give me a sippy cup, give me a sippy cup. We don't need to open containers. You get pulled over for an open container. I'm kidding about that. I mean, that's what I heard. That's what I heard. Amen. Back in the day, I drove a 1966 Chevy 2 Super Sport Nova. That was my car. And I beefed up the engine and I cut the exhaust and had it coming out, you know, in front of the back tires and put the aluminum tips on there and had the glass packs on there and it was really loud and rumbling and it was a four on the floor. 1966 Chevy 2 Super Sport Nova, four on the floor and a fifth under the seat. I'm just kidding about that, amen. But a six-pack in the back. Hey, man, you got a fast car. You got to get going, amen. But the Bible says here, they kindle a fire. We ought to let God kindle a fire.
Yeah.
Have a fire for God.
Yeah.
This week, and hopefully you've allowed your heart to be stirred, amen, on the righteousness, stirred on to a revival that God wants you to have, the fire of revival. Amen. That's what we need today. We need dads on fire for God. And mother's on fire for God. Young people on fire for God. That's the church that God's going to use to have that impact, to be like a tidal wave of righteousness upon this sin-soaked society, claiming back the ground we've given up to the modernistic, liberal, communistic crowd, neighbor. Amen. And he kindled a fire. And they got the fire going. And man, them fellas come up out of that sea. They were all wore out. They had to cast all their stuff. They cast the weed out. They cast all their possessions. They had to cast it out so they could run a little bit shallow, get closer to the shore so they could make it. They got rid of all those things. And they come up out of the sea, I mean, with just the shirt on their backs. Amen. But they made it. They were worn out. They were weak. They were weary. And what did they need more than anything else? They needed a fire. Oh, they saw that fire, man. They were cold and they were shaking and they come up with that fire. Oh, how they thank God for that fire. Amen. Thank God for a fire. Thank God people come to a church. I mean, a church is warm. It's on fire for God. Amen. That's what God wants to use today in society. So they got the fire going. But I want you to notice what the Bible says there. Why they needed a fire? Because of the present rain, because they're cold. We need a fire because we're cold. Amen. But God can give us a fire. And no matter what type of sinful condition society is in. Amen. It doesn't matter the sinful situation that society is in today, God can still give us a fire. Yeah. I mean, he gave them a fire in the present rain. I mean, it doesn't matter what dark cloud that may be hovering over your life and some type of storm, some type of difficulty, and it just seems like there's no sunshine. Had Brother Davis, when he was so excited, he saw that beam of light out there, some blue sky, and you may not even see any blue sky, but you can have a fire. Yeah. Amen. That's when God wants to do it. In those dark days, in this dark society we're living in today, that's turned his back on God. And so they kindled a fire and got it going, even though it was rainy, even though it was stormy, even though it was cold outside, they got the fire going. Look at verse number 3. And when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks, he laid them on the fire. Now even Paul got involved in it, amen? The barbarous people kindled a fire. They got the fire going, but apparently the fire started dying out. The fire was dying out. Just like it is in a lot of our churches today. And with a lot of people today, a lot of homes today, that fire is dying out. That fire dying out. Old-fashioned Christianity is dying out in society today. And a zeal and an excitement to want to serve God, live for God, is dying out. Old time, leather long hellfire, brimstone calling down the thunder, leather neck stepping on your feet, telling you what you need to hear rather than what you want to hear. Preaching is dying out. It's dying out. You don't hear that kind of preacher like we've heard this week. How fortunate you are to be able to hear that week after week. And then Brother Larson had to stand up and preach, thus saith the Lord. Amen. But that's dying out today. And so what Paul? Paul wasn't about to let the fire die out. Amen. I mean, he wanted to continue to burn. Now, what's going to happen when there's no service tomorrow night? What's going to happen when there's no service on Friday night? What's going to happen when there's no service on Saturday night? And then you got to wait till Sunday to come back to church. I want to preach a message on how to maintain your flame. Amen. Amen. You've got to maintain that flame. Amen. You've got to stoke the fire every day. You've got to keep it burning day after day after day after day. Thank God for a meeting where God will kindle a fire in your life. But that fire is not going to last unless you determine in your heart you're going to do something about maintaining that flame. Don't let your fire expire. Don't allow anything or anybody to extinguish your flame. Determine in your heart, you've got to maintain that flame. Now, we've got soldiers standing at the ready, as we heard from Brother Davis. They're out there, but you know, most of the time, they're not in the battle. They're not in the fight. So what are they doing? They've got to maintain. Amen. They got to march every day. They've got to do what they're supposed to do every day. They got to clean those guns. Amen. They've got to maintain some things. And so it's true in the Christian life, neighbor. We want that fire to keep burning bright, bold, brilliant, brazen for the glory of God. You've got to maintain your flame. Who's with me? Say amen. And we'll see here in his passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul, he had a commitment to God. You got to be committed to it. Amen. You got to commit yourself every single day that I'm going to get up and stoke that fire. Every time you read your Bible, you're stoking the fire. Every time you pray, you're stoking the fire. Every time you give in the offering, give in the tithe, your money, you are fanning that flame. That's the way you got to have the spirit of commitment. And Paul was committed to it. He wasn't about to let that fire die out. He had some initiative. Amen. He had some unction. He got up from his place. He went out there and he started to gather that sticks, a bundle of sticks, and he laid them on the fire. Who with me? Say amen. Oh, listen, that's what we need to do. Maintain that flame. And what happened? Oh, listen, the devil, he's going to try to stop you. A viper came out of the heat. It didn't come out of the fire. It came out of the heat, out on the fringe. I mean, that's where the devil, he attacks those fringe Christians. He attacks those Christians that got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. They're not committed. Wholehearted, committed to the cause of Christ. And what happens? You're susceptible to the wiles of the devil. Here come that vapor up out of the heat and fasten on his hand. Oh, listen, the devil is a dirty, rotten snake in the grass. Amen. He's going to come out there and try to latch on. He's going to try to latch on to your life. Then he's going to secrete that poison. That poisonous philosophy that's promoted by Hollywood, by our public schools today. Who would ever thought that? Amen. And by government, other entities that are out there just like a vapor trying to secrete that poison. And then what happens when you get that poison in your body? It paralyzes you. You become unmovable, and you're susceptible to those attacks. I mean, we see here, Paul had a commitment, but the people here became very critical. They became very critical of the Apostle Paul. Here come that viper and fasten on his hand. And what did the people say when they saw the venomous beast hang on his hand? They said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. Oh, mark it down. Thank God for a church that preaches the Bible. Thank God for a church to have a meeting like this. And we can get a flame. We can get a flame in our heart and allow God to kindle that fire in our life. But you better be sure of this. It's not going to stop the devil from trying to knock you down.
That's right.
Amen. He's going to do all sorts of things to try to keep you from having a fire for God. He's got that viper out there, that old crafty, wily devil, that old snake in the grass, slithering around, jumped up on Apostle Paul. I mean, without even him expecting that. Oh, listen, the devil is very crafty. The devil is a lot smarter than you, a lot smarter than me. He's got tactical ways, amen, of trying to attack you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows exactly what you're drawn to. Who's with me? The devil knows the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and he knows the pride of life. And he's going to exploit it. Amen. He'll do it. He'll do it just so he can extinguish your flame. Amen. You got to be diligent in to maintain that flame for the glory of God. Amen. And so we see that the devil come out there and the people started to be critical. Isn't that just like human nature? Somebody goes through a little difficult situation. Somebody has a struggle and it's just human nature. We're just like Job's friends. We come over there with a critical spirit and say, well, maybe you must be living in sin. Right? That's what people say. That's what people say. You're going through a difficult situation. Well, why are you going? What is it that you're doing wrong? The Apostle Paul wasn't doing wrong. The Apostle Paul was doing right. He was committed. He wanted that fire to keep going. He wanted to be a blessing. He wanted to be a help to the things of God. And what happened? Here come the devil and old people. Then they start to be critical. Critical of the man of God. You may be careful, amen. You got a viper hanging on you if you got a critical attitude. Critical spirit. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Amen. Wounded spirit. Belly aching, griping, complaining all the time about different things. Finances, the way people walk and talk, the way people dress, what they're driving. Oh, how critical a human being can be towards another human being. Amen. God hates a critical spirit. And these things that God hates, yea, seven are abomination. And right in there, neighbor, he talks about people. Oh, listen, that have a critical eye, critical spirit. And so you need to maintain that flame, even though the devil comes out there. And what am I supposed to do when that happens? Well, the Bible says, and he shook off the beast into the fire. That's where he shook it off, in the fire. Amen. He didn't shake it off back in the woods so maybe it might can crawl up and hurt somebody else. He didn't shake it off over, you know, by a tree. No, he saw that fire and fire, poof, right in there, shook that thing off. Amen. I mean, he did it. I mean, with some vigor, with some boldness, he just shook it off. I mean, he didn't walk around, you know, oh, woe is me. Look at what happened to me. I got bit by this viper. And I'll tell you what, I'm just struggling. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Huh? No. Wow! He didn't complain about it. Didn't bellyache about it. Shook it off. Oh, listen, you maintain your flame. There's some things you got to shake off. You got to shake off a critical spirit. Who's with me? Say amen. You better shake that thing today. Or listen, you're not going to have a fire that God is going to be honored. And that's why it's important to have a fire where you can dispose of those vipers, dispose of those wicked things, and watch the flame of God. I mean, burn those things up. Amen. So every day we've got to develop that type of spirit. Shake off these accusations and things of that nature. We hear people, you know, who's spreading that rumor about? What are they saying about me? You don't have to worry about who it is. Amen. You just have to shake that thing off. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, your pastor, he takes criticism all the time, but he keeps going. Why? He shakes it off.
Amen.
You got to shake it off, neighbor. To maintain your flame, you got to shake off animosity. Yes, the Bible says he got bit there. And the Bible says he felt no harm. How many Christians walk around with hurt feelings? Who's with me? Say amen. You walk around with hurt feelings. My feelings been hurt. That person said something bad about me. I don't go to church because the people are hypocrites. But they go down to Walmart.
Yeah.
They go to a ball game. I mean, they're more hypocrites there than in the church. Amen.
Yeah.
That's just an excuse. You got to shake off that animosity. Shake off that bitterness. We all get bit. He got bit but didn't quit.
Amen.
Who women say amen?
Yeah.
That's right. And so he determined to maintain that flame. Even though there was a critical spirit, even though there was a temptation to have hurt feelings, he was able to shake those things off and get rid of them. Get it out of your life. So you hear gossip, criticism, you shake it off. I remember as a teenager back in 1970, a 475, and it was during the recession, and the gas prices went sky high, 74 cents a gallon. And, oh, man, and it was a big old gas crisis and a recession. A lot of independent Baptist churches stopped running their buses in our area. They stopped running their buses. Said, we can't do it anymore. We can't afford it. My pastor, Pastor Johnson, said, folks, we're going to start two more bus routes. Well, I had about eight of them. Let's start two more. Well, where are they going? They're going to the furthest port away. We're going to send one to St. Paul. Our church is 30 miles away from there. We're going to send one to Minneapolis. And we're going to pray for workers. Who's going to volunteer? And my mom and dad stood up and said, we'll take the Minneapolis route. And they worked that route for 37 years.
Amen.
Who women say amen?
Amen.
But there were some people got upset. And some of the money people in the church got upset. We can't be taking on this. I mean, we got a gasoline crisis. We can't be taking on new bus routes. We can't afford it. And all of that. And it got up. And about 70 of them walked out of the service. And they never come back. Some of the families, I have good buddies with them and stuff. And after church, I said to my dad, I said, Dad, what's wrong with old people? Why are they getting upset? Why are they walking out? And my dad said, son, I have no idea. He said, I live my life in such a way that the gossipers don't come around your daddy. Because they know where your daddy stands. They know your dad's behind the pastor. They know your dad walks in step with the man of God. The gossipers know better than to come around me.
That's right.
Amen.
Good.
Oh, listen, we got to shake up some of those things and get them out of our life. Those hurt feelings, animosity. Well, the Bible says there, in verse 6, how big they look when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after he looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. And said he was a he was a god. They thought he was a god.
Yeah.
Amen. And oh, listen, I mean, that's one of the big problems in independent Baptists. Independent Baptist movements today is man worship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Worship of man. But the Bible said don't put confidence in men. Now we respect our pastor. We love our pastor. We pray for our pastor, but you don't worship your pastor. Matter of fact, he doesn't want you to worship him.
Right.
There's a lot of people, they like it. They like that worship. They like those accolades. They like, the praise of man. Who's with me? Say amen.
Amen.
They think of themselves more highly than they ought to think.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Oh, listen, I mean, Apostle Paul, he stepped back for a second and said, hey, listen, don't worship me. I'm not a god. I mean, listen, he had to maintain that flame. Amen. He didn't want anything to wash out his desire, love, commitment for God. So he shook off those accusations. He shook off that animosity. Then he shook off this temptation of pride. I'm talking about you got to shake off that arrogance.
Yes.
Where you think of yourself more highly than you ought to think.
Amen.
Where you think you know more than the pastor. Or you teenagers think you know more than your mom and dad. Who's with me? That's right. You don't ever get in that attitude, young people, where you think you know better than what your mom and dad know. They've been down the road. They've seen the pitfall. They know the landmines. They know exactly, amen, what the devil plans here. This is what you're going to do when you get an answer. This is what's going to happen here. You better give heed to the instruction of your mom and dad. Don't. You got to shake off arrogance. You got to shake off pride. You got to shake off those things. You want to maintain your flame? There's some things you better shake off. Amen. Some of you do have hurt feelings. Some of you do have bitterness. Some of you have been critical. Some of you have allowed pride in your heart and in your life. I know every day those things, I'm in temptation for me. And so every day I've got to maintain my flame so I can have a place to deposit those vipers and get them out of my life.
Yeah.
You got to shake it off.
Yeah.
Amen. I used to play baseball. We had a baseball team at the Christian school. We had a good team, too. We won our regional district tournaments. And we played against public schools. This is back in the 70s when there weren't very many Christian schools, so we would have to play public schools. And we were in a game one time, and it was going into extra innings, and we had to win that game to advance ourselves into the tournament. And it come extra innings, and it came time for me to bat. And I'd been in a terrible slump. I'd had no confidence when I went up there. And I'm standing there waiting for the pitch. And the first pitch comes, and the umpire, ball one. And so I was thankful. And the next one come up at ball two. And I was thankful, man, because I'm not hitting the ball very good. I don't even want to swing the bat. I'm so discouraged. And ball three. And now all of a sudden, he threw four balls in a row. I didn't swing the bat once. I was too afraid that I'd get out and possibly lose the game for my team. And so I got to first base. I hadn't been on first base in forever. Man, I want to pick it up and hug it. Amen. I want to squat down and curl up with it. Amen. I wanted to cuddle with the first base. I was so happy. And so there I was on first base. And that pitcher's pitching up there. And I'm thinking to myself, if I get to second base, huh? I get to second base. My buddy, who's the best hitter on the team, he's out there. I can run around and I can score the winning run and be the hero. And so I wasn't that fast. I was about as fast as, you know, a bowling ball, about as fast as molasses, you know, in the winter. But I was quick. I was quick, but I wasn't that fast. You know? And so I'm watching the pitcher. I'm seeing the signals coming from the baseball, and he gave me all the signals, you know, and all that, doing this. And I could have just, I mean, I swore, I said, he's giving me the steal sign. That's the steal sign. I know it. And so I was waiting, pounding the pitch. I time it. Pow! I took off like a sloth. Amen. You know, and the catcher got the ball, And I saw the shortstop come over, because I noticed the second baseman was kind of playing over, and I knew he wasn't going to get there. But the shortstop came over, and I catch it through the ball. I'm 3 feet away, and he's got the ball in his glove. And he put the glove down in front of the base, and I faked the slide, and I dove over the top. I landed on the base, and I heard the ump say, "Safe." I faked him out. He thought he was going to slide, but I jumped over. But what happened is I hit my hip right on the stake. You know, back in the 70s, that's how they would fasten down bases. It had a buckle. You remember the big buckle around the base? And then it had a metal stake down there. Well, the base had moved. The stake was exposed, and my hip landed right on it. Pow! I was paralyzed. In my leg, I couldn't move. I don't know. I said, my buddy's going to have to hit a big, I don't know if I can make a home. And so he struck out. I did all that for nothing. I come limping into the bench. I said, coach, I'm hurt. I can't go on. You know what my coach said to me? Shake it off. Ain't that what they say? But they shake it off. I said, shake it off. Shake it off. I said, I'm in pain. And Brother Davis quoted the thing I used to hear all the time from my coaches. Pain is just weakness leaving the body. I said, where did these people come up with these sayings? Did these coaches go to some school? Shake it off. Pain is a bit. I'm in pain. He said, you need to shake it off. Get back out there. So, you know, I went out to my position. I'm playing center field. You know, I'm out there praying, Lord, don't let a ball come to me. Lord, don't let a ball come to me. And so extra innings again. And then it come to my time to bat again. Oh, man. I limp up to the box. I said, Coach, I don't know. He said, shake it off. I limp up to the plate. And I'm standing there. Hadn't hit a ball. And I don't know how many times at bat. And I thought to myself, I'm in just too much pain to go on. And that pitcher saw me limping. And so he threw one right down the middle. And so I closed my eyes. And I swung the bat. And it hit the ball, and it went sailing over the shortstop. It went sailing over left field, and it went sailing over the fence. I hit a home run and won the game. I ran around on bases. I was running so hard. My buddies come out there. They were congratulating me. My coach come up and grabbed me and said, I thought you were in pain. He didn't even say, great hit, great job, good job, or nothing like that. But you just got to shake some things off. I read a story about a farmer down in Texas. You know, down in Texas, get real dry, and the ground cracks open. Well, that farmer had an old mule that fell in one of those cracks. He couldn't get him out. He said, man, that's old Blue down there. He been a faithful mule. He been good, but I can't get him out. I'm just going to have to bury him. So he went and got some shovels and got his boys and then throwing dirt in there and they're going to bury that mule alive. And then throw it. And every time a hunk of dirt hit old Blue on the back, he'd shake himself and he'd stomp down on it. And another one, he'd shake himself and he'd stomp it down and shake it. Over a process of time, they threw so much dirt in there, he shook it all off, he stepped on it and was able to walk out of that ditch. You got to shake some things off.
Yes.
You have to maintain your flame. You better shake it off. Lord, I pray you take the message. Help us, Lord, to recognize it tonight. We've had some great preaching. We've had some great fellowship. We've had some great food. The ladies have done just above and beyond with all the food and everything. And Lord, it'd be all in vain if we let this fire die out. We can't let the fire die out, Lord. We got to keep the flame going. We've got to maintain that flame. Help us, dear God, not to let these vipers keep us from doing what you want us to do. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.